You would turn your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, we'll pick back up as we work our way through this book verse by verse. And we come to the last chapter of the book of Romans as we find Paul signing off, if you will, but not without some salutations, greetings, and just if you will, a shout out to those that he loved dearly, who had impacted him, and those obviously that he had impacted and formed a great relationship with during his journeys as a missionary, and those that served alongside him. We recognized Phoebe last Sunday evening, and talked about her testimony and how she impacted the Apostle Paul, and appreciate what the Lord did in and through her. And now we're going to look at the next names that Paul lists here in verse number 3. So here we are, Romans chapter 16, verse number 3. He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for your provisions of grace, your provisions of mercy. We do stand in awe. I also want to thank you for helping us, Lord, empowering us, living your life through us in this journey that you have called us upon. And Lord, we do have an enemy called self, but we're thankful that self is overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. And even tonight, Lord, as we look at your word, I pray that each and every person here will receive the word tonight with gladness, and that will apply it to their lives as you see fit. Thank you again for your great goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. More helpers Paul's going to list out here. And as we will notice in the coming weeks, there are quite a few names, over 20 specifically, that he will name, men and women, churches that have helped him along the way. Paul could not have done what the Lord called him to do without these people, without these churches, without the co-laborers and the fellow soldiers. And that's the beauty of the church, is it not? We are able to accomplish what God's called us together, not alone. It is the beauty of the body, that we see, especially here in chapter 16. But this couple is a special couple, very unique, if you will. I don't know that there are any other couples that are really named, identified in the way Aquila and Priscilla are in the Word of God. But they had a testimony for the Lord. And I want to just really share their testimony with you tonight. If you want to give tonight's message a title, you could say, "Laying Down Your Own Neck." Laying down your own neck. You've heard the expression that, different ones, of course, that refer to giving your life for someone. Laying down your life, you could say, laying down your neck. And that's indeed you saying, "I would be willing to give my life for you." And obviously, this couple had that type of spirit. They loved the Apostle Paul, and they obviously at some point, we don't know all the details, we don't know the situation exactly, what it was at the time, but Paul testifies that this couple was ready to give their very lives so that I could continue in the work God called me to. Priscilla is, in all the accounts, this couple is listed six times in the Word of God. All six times, three by Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, and then the Apostle Paul in several different books. You got this account, and then you have 1 Corinthians 16, and then you have 2 Timothy chapter 4. But Priscilla is always listed first. It's a little bit of a mystery. We don't know all the reasons why. Some believe it's because she was more prominent than her husband. She was well known, perhaps. But regardless, she is listed first. And it is obvious that that is through Luke and Paul. But they had a ministry together. God was using them. Could it be, some suggested, well, that she was probably more spiritual than her husband? Could have very well been. I don't know that. No one can prove that. But nevertheless, it appears that this couple worked together, and they both were helpers, because he says it here. They're my helpers in Christ Jesus. And I just want to point out the fact that they were ready to give their lives so that Paul could do what God had called him to do and taking the gospel around the world. Now, could you hold your place there in Romans 16 and go back with me to Acts chapter 18, where they are introduced? Acts chapter 18, if you would go back there with me. I think it's important that you see this. This is when Paul was traveling. It would have been on his second missionary journey, where he would go through Athens, and he came to Corinth. And this is significant to understand the testimony of Priscilla and Aquila. But it says that he came to Corinth in verse 1, Acts chapter 18, verse 1. And then verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And what we're going to see here is they're going to be identified as those people that he met in arriving at Corinth. It says here, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, he worked with them for their occupation. They were tent makers. Now, this is the account that this is the beginning of a wonderful relationship between Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. I want to share some characteristics about this couple that I think will encourage your heart tonight, and just realizing how God orchestrates helpers in our life. You know how we talked about last week, how it's so important to pray that God would make you a helper to those around you, wherever you go. God, make me a helper today. And then we also pray that it's equally important that, Lord, would you please send someone to help me today? Help me. Well, these people were just that minded. They were just minded to be a help to Paul. And he testifies of that, does he not? He speaks of that boldly and openly. So I want to just share with you, if you want to take some notes on this, you may. But I want to say, first of all, a characteristic I notice about them, especially them being where they are, is that they were tenacious. They were tenacious. You know, I think Christians ought to be tenacious people. A good definition of tenacious was this: not easily pulled apart. Not easily pulled apart. You know, that is their testimony. And one of the first things that stands out to me is to understand that they had lived in Rome, but they had to leave Rome. They experienced anti-Semitism in their time as well. You better believe it, because in AD 49, the Roman Emperor Claudius basically expelled all the Jews out of Rome. And they would have been a part of that group, and we know that because it tells us there in verse 2. They had to leave. Of our passage back in Romans, we see that their testimony, but here in Acts, it tells us that they had to leave. They were commanded to leave. So, because of them having to leave Rome, they went to Corinth. And they were displaced. That was inconvenient. I mean, if you ever had to tell, if somebody came to you today and said, hey, you have to leave your home and you have to move to a totally different city, I believe that would kind of disrupt a lot of things, would it not? I mean, it would. And we would have to be tenacious to be able to hold it all together. Because to not lose our mind and not to lose our sanity, not to lose our testimony. you know what I mean? And obviously they left out. And here's the interesting thing about this. I think it's important for us to understand the point, the importance of being tenacious in the time of trouble. When we are trying, either by the flesh or Satan, trying to be pulled apart in this life, is the fact that, think about this, they never would have met Paul if they would not have had just a good attitude and just gone to Corinth and do the next thing. They were displaced. They obviously went to Corinth by the providence of God. And because of that, they're making tents. And here comes Paul. And this is really interesting. Paul appears to be alone on this part of the journey. He left Timothy and Silas back in Ephesus. And he is moving, looks like alone, going into Corinth. And Corinth was a very, very wicked place. I mean, hey, in my opinion, very similar, I guess, in many ways to what we would see as Sin City, Las Vegas, the wickedness and the debauchery that takes place there in Las Vegas. That's the kind of city this place was. So when Paul came in, he was, I think he was like all of us, quite honestly. I believe he was a little scared. You say, can you prove that from the scriptures? Well, I believe we do see that he testifies of that. If you'll notice, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it, but if you would like, there in First Corinthians, I believe is where I saw that earlier. Let me get back here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah. He says this. When he wrote the first letter to them, talking about when he came unto them, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, I was just coming to preach the gospel. But notice verse 3, this is a transparent man. He's honest. He says, I was with you, what's the next word? In weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This man stepped on the scene in Corinth and he was just like us. Hey, if you ever find yourself kind of trembling when you get ready to share the gospel with somebody and you feel like you're going to be stuttering over in your words, you're in good company, brother and sister. The Apostle Paul did too. But it didn't keep him from doing it. Amen? I thank God for that testimony. That means you can fumble and stumble all over yourself and give the gospel and the Lord will still bless it. my name's Brent's son. I forgot what I was going to say. Sometimes that can, we can have that. You want to say something and you just totally forget it. You're so nervous. Well, Paul, he was made of the same stuff as you and me, but obviously God had moved him there, but thank the Lord that God had some people there to encourage him. And, you guessed it, who were they? Aquila and Priscilla. They would be there in a strategic way to encourage this brother coming into a vile place. and you don't think Corinth was vile, think about this. It was a place of pure paganism. The worship of Aphrodite was their worship there. It was the lowercase g, God of love, is what it was considered. The hill that this temple was located on was called the Acrocorinth Hill. It was 1,800 feet high, and it was overlooking the city. And as the temple that was there was filled with just complete wickedness, thousands of cultic prostitutes were there, and it was the center of immorality in the ancient world. And Greek and Roman writers would use the word Corinthianized to emphasize the debauchery that was there, meaning someone was living a very wicked lifestyle. They were Corinthianized. So that's what Paul is stepping into. But thank God there were these believers here that were ready to encourage the Apostle Paul. The Bible really indicates that this couple was already saved. And I love this too. If you trace it back, we can't prove this, but it's likely, it would definitely make sense. These people were saved before they met Paul. And it would make perfect sense because if you go back to Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, you'll see where there were people from Pontus there for Pentecost. The believers going back with the gospel to share the good news. They got saved. There was obvious already a church there that had been growing. And then this, of course, in Romans, they're back because after Claudius died, a lot of the Jews went back after he passed away. And it's obvious because he's writing this letter and he's telling them, hey, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. They were tenacious. They were strong believers. But then they were encouragers. They stepped alongside Paul. And I could just imagine. I don't know if you want to use your sanctified imagination tonight, but I envision these folks making their tents. They're in the market, man. It's busy. Lots of sound going on. People walking the streets and whatever else, wagons. I don't know what was all going on, and people just selling goods and all these different things. And they're now in the market, and Paul walks in and sees these folks making a tent. And of course, Paul was a tent maker, as we know from the scriptures. And these people just obviously welcomed Paul in. Don't you love that? Don't you love people that make you feel welcomed? I mean, I feel like that's one of the greatest gifts you can give somebody, is to make them feel welcomed. You not only make them feel welcomed, but you are present there with them. And Paul responded to that, and they hit it off. They really did. They connected immediately. And it's awesome how God does that for you and me. He gives you those people at just the right time to encourage you with your walk with God. Aren't you thankful for that, church? Give God praise for the people of God providentially that He sends your way. And by the way, He's using you to do the same thing for others. This coming week, God's going to providentially put you in someone's pathway that needs a word of encouragement, needs some help. And it's God's plan. Well, that's the kind of people they were. And it's interesting. I don't have a lot of time to go into it, but if you notice the different relationships, and I believe Paul was I'm not saying he was hard to get along with. I mean, he was a pretty strong fellow spiritually, and he was serious-minded in ways, you could tell. And he butted heads with some of the believers along the way. Paul's a little stubborn. And it was, you know, it wasn't necessarily sinful. In fact, a couple times he was stubborn in a good way. You'll remember when he and Barnabas butted heads a little bit. Remember that back in Acts 13? They were, you know, getting ready to go on the missions trip, and John Mark, remember old Mark? It was like Paul's like, I ain't taking him. I'm not going to do that. And they kind of went back and forth, and Barnabas would go ahead and take him. And there was some division, a little bit of division there, but God even used that. But not only that, but I remember he had to withstand Peter. You remember Paul had to tell Peter, look, you are not acting right now. The way you are sending mixed signals to the Gentiles, the way you're putting forth where you're excluding the Gentiles and sending mixed signals about this work of grace that Jesus has done for us. And he had to confront Peter and there was several others. I mean, even Demas. Remember, Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. There were people that Paul just, he had to confront or either had some situation go on. But what's interesting about this couple, now again, I'm sure they're human. I'm sure they probably had times where they got on each other's nerves. I don't know. I mean, if you're human, you're going to eventually get on somebody's nerves. But nevertheless, the scriptures seem to indicate that they just never really had any problems, serious problems. They just got along. And I tell you, church, we ought to be people who strive to just be peacemakers and who can really get along with anybody. Just get along with anybody. Just a mutual respect, a humility, a heart to serve. And even if we don't see eye to eye, even if we don't have the same really connecting personalities and whatnot, you consider all those things. We ought to be people who can get along with anybody. Now, again, you know what I'm not talking about. If somebody's trying to get you to sin or do wrong, you got to stand against that. But you understand my spirit here. What I'm saying is that we're just people that, look, we are not difficult in the sense of just being defiant against people in general. Yes, against wickedness and sin, absolutely. And Paul was, by the way. And so was Aquila and Priscilla. And that's probably why they got along so well. They were both like in Corinth, like, Paul, don't even walk over there. And right now on that street. We go over here and preach the gospel. We'll go over here and preach. And we'll go over this point and preach. Let me tell you where to navigate this city. And it's just, I envisioned the way God brought all that together. But they were an encouragement. And by the way, we live in a wicked world where we need to encourage one another. Surrounded by just rebellion against God Almighty. And I'm thankful that we can come into a church like this on Sunday night and encourage one another. Because we know what we're all going to face this coming week. There's just some things that we're going to witness. But they were encouragers. They absolutely were. And not only did they encourage Paul, but they encouraged Apollos. I don't have time to go to that. But you'll remember when Paul and the team, they had actually gone to Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla had gone to Ephesus with Paul. And there was a man by the name of Apollos. He was on fire for God. He was preaching and teaching. He was letting it roll. He was thundering the Word of God, but he didn't quite have it all right. He had a lot of zeal. You know who the Bible says took him alongside and showed him a more perfect way? Aquila and Priscilla. Acts chapter 18, verse 26. And he appreciated that because the next verse says, you ought to look at it, I ran out of time, but he went on continuing to preach in a more perfect way. He had a fulfillment because he only had the understanding of John the Baptist's message and he needed further light. And I thank God that he was there to give him that further light. And God's going to use you to give someone some further light. Sat beside somebody at Starbucks on Friday as a college student and sat there for a while and he was packing up, just wanted to invite him to church. And man, we started talking and I just shared the gospel with him. And I tell you, this young man named Jonathan, he just said, I just want to tell you, I don't know that I've ever heard it put just like that. And the only thing I said, really, just to, you know, summarize it, the one thing I just said is like, look, you cannot appease God by doing well. You don't think that God's just gonna, this salvation is gonna be you just trying to earn your way in and do right and measure up to God and or he's gonna be mad at you. He's like, man, that's the way I've always thought of God. God's going to lead you to someone's pathway to give them some further light, like this fine couple. They were encouragers. They were hard workers. They were tent makers. They were connecting with people. And they were trusted stewards. The scriptures appear that this was a wealthy couple. They had a house in Rome, they had a house in Ephesus, and they had a house in Corinth. And their house each time was used for a church, because they didn't have church buildings like this back in those times. They met in people's homes. I'm glad we have church buildings like this where we can all gather in. I don't know if y'all, or we want to start meeting people's houses. Y'all have to realize that you're going to have to prepare a lot of food. Because you know Baptists got to eat, right? I'm just kidding. But nevertheless, we got a central location and we gather here. But they had opened up their home. It says it in Scripture that it was their house where they had set forth even through their testimony. They were trusted stewards. They were loyal. And I think that's what I want to close with even tonight. They were loyal in the sense that they were willing to give themselves, their own lives, for this man. Now get this straight and make sure you get it real straight here. They were not men pleasers. They did not follow Paul just because he was being used of God. Just because he was a man that had the hand of God on him. They used him because they saw that God Almighty was leading them to do that. He was following Christ. It's not because he had great gifts. It's because he was following Christ. And they were willing to lay down their necks, the Word of God says, and risk their own lives so that he could be helped. And as I close the message tonight, I just want to leave you with this thought. Let's be the type of believers that we are truly willing to lay down our lives for one another. Let that sink in. Anybody in this church, you should, I should, towards one another, should be willing to lay down our lives for their sake. Give my life in order that they might live. If God were to put us in that position. That's a true biblical servant spirit. Everyone can hear quote John 3:16. We're not going to quote it, but I'm sure you could. If I said, all right, all together, most of us would be able to quote it. But could you quote 1 John 3:16? Just out of curiosity, can anybody quote that one? Listen to what 1 John 3:16 says. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so, as we serve one another in this local church, let's love each other so much and serve each other so much that we have the mentality that I will lay down my life for you. And I pray that I can. I pray that I will. And if God were to give me that opportunity, and maybe it's not just, you know, taking a situation where you were going to be taken out physically, but I think more appropriately and practically, we need to be giving ourselves to one another in the way of spiritual life, encouraging one another, being there for one another, giving of myself so that you can be profited, so that you can be benefited. And that's the way we should be looking at one another, giving our lives. Giving as Aquila and Priscilla did, their livelihood, their home, their work, everything they did, it was to the glory of God, and it was help the kingdom of God to go forward with power. Laying down your own neck. What a testimony here. What a testimony. May God help us to be faithful in the same way. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just grateful for the clear testimony of Aquila and Priscilla. We understand, Father, that Paul... You led Paul to write about them very specifically. And I pray that we, in this room would determine to be Aquila's and Priscilla's. I pray that you would help us to have that type of vision, that type of heart, that type of mentality. Put your hand upon us, Lord. Help us to stop being so self-serving. And may we be others-minded. Oh God, we just trust you to work now, and we'll give you the praise for what you do even tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to invite you to respond to the Lord. As the Holy Spirit has spoken to you tonight, let's surrender to Him afresh on being the Aquila and Priscilla's He's calling us to.